When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the High Vibration Living Podcast. I'm your host, Chef Whitney Aronoff, founder of Starseed Kitchen and High Vibration Foods. Join me for conversation where we learn about food, wellness, beauty, travel, and spiritual concepts for high vibration living. Only you know what your body needs. Let this be the reminder that you have the power to tap in and know the food, self-care, and spiritual practices that will best serve you. I will be sharing my knowledge and learning with you from experts providing insight into nourishing all the layers of you, the physical, emotional, spiritual, and etheric bodies, so you can feel your best and live your dreams. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the High Vibration Living Podcast. I am your host, Chef Whitney Aronoff, founder of Starseed Kitchen and High Vibration Foods. Today's episode is such a treat. I am chatting with award-winning author, face reader, diet counselor, Rebecca Wood. You guys have heard me talk about her in so many podcast episodes on Instagram, on my website, Starseed Kitchen. I constantly refer to her book, The New Whole Foods Encyclopedia. It's been in continuous print for 37 years. She also has a book called The Splendid Grain, an incredible cookbook that won both the Julia Child and James Beard Cookbook Awards. For 25 years, her website has been offering an abundance of whole food recipes, core health information, and tips for you to do face reading on your own. So face reading is the incredible Asian and Chinese practice of being able to look at your hair, your eyebrows, your eyes, your lips, your nose, every part of your head to your collarbones to be able to diagnose what's going on inside your diet, your stress, your organs, and teaching you how to make adjustments so you have more vitality and more beauty. So we are going to get right into it. You guys are going to learn how to look at your own face and be able to figure out what's going on internally. You'll find out tools and where you can look to dive into this deeper. And we also talk about some things that are going on with my own face and what that's saying about my hair, my kidneys, my colon, my lungs, my eyelids, my spleen. It's a great episode. I love Rebecca Wood so much. She is the grandmother or the great aunt we all want in our lives. I know you will enjoy this episode. She is such a gift. Tune in and gain her wisdom. And then hopefully, I definitely recommend that you go out and get her incredible ebooks. I have bought all of them. They're super useful tools. What I do with ebooks is after I purchase them, I take them to like a FedEx, Kinko's, a local copy shop. I print them out and I have them bound. So that way I can keep them in my kitchen or my little library and reference them in person anytime I need that insight. So without further ado, here is the beautiful and the wise Rebecca Wood. Cheers. Hi, Rebecca Wood. Welcome to the High Vibration Living Podcast.
Hi, Whitney. What a pleasure to be your guest today. Thank you.
Well, it really is. I think most people that have listened to this podcast or have followed me on social media or even subscribed to, you know, my emails, they know I'm a huge fan of your books. And I consider your books really like Bibles. You do such a great job of teaching us how food nourishes different parts of our body, organs, different times of season. But a lot of what you know is through your practice of face reading. And so that's what we're going to dive into today so people can better see on their own what their body needs.
I'm game.
How did you first learn about face reading?
That was in the 60s. I studied with Michio Kushi, who was the first one to write the first book in English on face reading. And it fascinated me because as a community, we were studying with Michio, and we were all eating the same diet. It was a macrobiotic diet, which I'm not recommending today. It has lots of good stuff, but we were all following this diet, and so we could see each other's faces and see how, when they changed their diet, their faces would change. I mean, how fascinating is that? Yeah. And so from there, I went on and studied acupuncture. I was in the first acupuncture course taught in English. That was in London, well, in Kenilworth, England, in 1973. And I've been reading faces, you know, ever since. Yeah.
So where does face reading come from? Does it come from Japan? Does it come from China?
It's an Asian art that goes throughout Asia, but what I rely on is Chinese face reading, which is a part of Chinese medicine, and all acupuncturists use it to some extent.
We've worked together with face reading, and I find, you know, you can kind of see things when you look in the mirror, but when you take a photograph of yourself and then look at it, it's a whole different light. And that's what you work off of when you do face reading for your clients, is you require that they take photos, eyes open, eyes closed, the different sides. And that's how you start to work on their face and really what's going on with their digestion, their diet, their body.
Right, right. And what's, you know, face reading was just always illustrations historically, because you just draw a picture. Like, for example, the tip of the nose reflects one's heart. And so you see all these illustrations and you'll see that the tip of the nose suggests heart. But when you see a photograph, and thanks to our ability to enlarge those photographs on screen, then you can really see the nuance. And by changing your diet to bring it back in balance, then your internal organs become happier, more balanced, and your face will reflect the changes. It's truly remarkable, truly.
I really think it is too. And I think a lot of people get to a place nowadays where they don't know how to eat. They're so confused because there's so much information, but they know they don't feel right. And maybe they're starting to see changes on their face. So that's where I think this tool comes in and can help realign them or redirect them on how they should be eating. So are there a few main markers you look for when you start to look at someone's photos?
Oh, that's a great question. And you're right. We're wanting this to work for you, because everybody wants to feel well. And there's so much information out there. And you try one diet and it works a little bit, and you try, you know, there's just so much information. So let's start at the hairline and move right down to the collarbones. And the first thing we're going to look at is hair. So the condition of your hair reflects the condition of the kidneys. And so if your hair is thinning, or if it prematurely grays, then that's showing that there's stress to the kidneys. And so, you know, some mornings you get up and there's more hair on your pillow, or there's more hair that has come off in the shower drain, and you just, you realize you're shedding more hair. And so it's just this little wake up call to, oh, less coffee, because coffee is a stimulant, is hard on the kidneys. And so you cut back your coffee and you notice that shifts. So that's the actual hair itself. The luster or sheen of the hair reflects one's colon or large intestine and lungs. And so, you know how sometimes you look at your hair and it just looks dull and mousy?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, and then you think, oh, and my bowels have been off, or, oh, my lungs are congested. So what do I need to do to bring balance? And of course, we're all different. And so what's going to bring balance for one person is going to be different for another. But you just, you probably know what it is you need to do, probably. And so you give that a try and you notice if your hair has more luster. And you just keep on working it and tweaking it until you've got that luster again.
That is fascinating because I think most people would see the changes in their hair and think, I need to change my shampoo and conditioner. I need to find a new product, or I need to change my water. Maybe it's the quality of my water. I need a water filter. But to think that it could actually be a lot easier and you can just change your diet.
You know, oh heavens. There's a product there that promises to solve everything. And what a lot of marketing gimmicks, you know. And it's much more simple than that, I promise you. Yeah.
So what nourishes the kidneys to start?
Well, so I mentioned staying away from coffee and stimulants. And it's helpful to think of the kidneys. And when I say kidneys, I'm speaking of kidney system, and so that includes the adrenals and the bladder. And so if you have lots of bladder infections, or if you have fatigue, deep set fatigue, or there's emotions that are also connected with each organ, or if you tend to be paranoid and fearful and a little tremulous, these are all little signs that the kidneys need attention. So your question, what foods, how do we support the kidneys? So avoiding stimulants, get plenty of rest. You know, I know I'm probably sounding like your grandmother on this, but if we followed her advice, get sleep, exercise, fresh air, eat well, you know, that would take care of the kidneys right there. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is what I think we all need. I don't think everybody has a grandmother or a great aunt or a wise family member that they can bounce these life issues off of and get wisdom from, right? So I think there's not an adult in this world that doesn't get to a point in their life where, like, I'm tired. It's hard to keep going. My speed isn't there anymore, or the luster in my hair is gone. And you can't just turn to a family member for, you know, what did you do when you were this age and you had these experiences? You're Googling. And so therefore you're not necessarily getting, you know, really the best answer.
Google just doesn't know this sort of thing. And we're so grateful to Asian medicine because they didn't have the antibiotics and the wonderful techniques that we have and that we're grateful for today, but they used food as their medicine. And so they learned the energetic properties of food and observed them. And incidentally, in my book, The Whole Foods Encyclopedia, in the index, you can look up kidneys and you can find a whole list of foods that strengthen the kidneys. So some of those would be root vegetables. Bone stock is a really, really good one. Meat, organ meats, the kidneys are good for the kidneys. Mm-hmm. Sounds simplistic, but it really works that way. Beans, grains, seeds, these are all, they're kidney foods. And when you think about it, a seed or a grain is the essence of, holds the essence of life. It's a whole little plant packed in that one little lima bean seed, as it were. And so our kidneys are also considered the root of our energy or our core essence and vitality. So when you're deeply fatigued, when you feel tired to the bone, that's saying that your kidneys really need support. And so you adjust your lifestyle, you get more sleep, you relax more. Another thing that's harmful, that's hard on the kidneys, is too much sitting or too much standing. And so if you're sedentary, exercise and move. Swimming is really good for the kidneys. And one of the really important things is warmth. Kidneys and our lower back, if you just sort of right now, just put your hands on your lower back right there, you know, just below the waistline, just almost at, just below, or your kidneys, and if they're at all compromised, don't let that your lower back get cold. Keep it warm, and especially in the winter, and avoid, well, don't avoid the cold, but you just bundle up. And so cold, kidneys have this, one of their functions in Chinese medicine is to act as a thermostat. Wow. And just like a thermostat, just like the one in your house. If you're cold, you turn up the thermostat. If you're hot, and so the kidneys have that ability so that to keep us at an even body temperature, because we need that for our very life. And if the kidney's been real stressed by standing all day long or by sitting all day long or by drinking too much coffee, then, not that day, you wouldn't see a difference. But over the long term, you'll see a difference, and the kidneys become depleted, and then your hair starts thinning or moving down the face from the hair. Underneath the eyes, it becomes blue and discolored. Now, if your kidney system is taking that stress to the bladder, if the bladder's implicated or showing signs more, then you can see red or pink if there's inflammation of the bladder right on the very lower eyelid. Whereas if the kidney is stressed, then we're going to look directly under the eye, at the corners of the eye and directly under it. And if it's blue or violet or pinkish or purple, that's your big clue that, hey, wait a minute, I need to take care of my kidneys. They're inviting help. And you can have hollows or these raccoon eyes, they're actually dark all the way around. They're all kidney indicators, and they're a wake-up call. It's your body's kindness showing you that there's imbalance and you can fix it.
And you had shared with me a few months ago when I sent in photos that you could see the discoloration in the corner of my eyes that I couldn't even see. Because when I looked in the mirror, I didn't notice it. When you had me take those photos and you sent them in and we zoned in on it, I could suddenly see it. And warm foods, warm beverages is one of the things you suggested. And I think that's made a huge difference in how I feel, not just physically, but very much energetically. I feel so much better now.
So right on, Whitney. Yeah, it was 6 months ago when you first sent me your photos, and I was concerned because you were blue under your eyes. And not only you were blue, but your eyes showed a lack of vitality. They were, the term is sanpaku, S-A-N. They weren't real sanpaku. I'll spell that, S-A-N-P-A-K-U, which means that your energy was just too much. They're too scattered, too extended. And so it's been 6 months since I looked at your material, but I think you were going to reduce coffee and start eating warm foods. And when I saw your pictures this morning, it was like, yay, Whitney, because the color is so much better underneath your eyes, and there's more vitality in your eyes. So what did you do besides increasing warm foods? Anything else? Please tell us.
Yeah, so I really focused on a warm breakfast and a warm dinner. Now, can't necessarily do that 100% of the time, but I'm at least like at 85% of the time, making sure in the morning I'm having 2 eggs, something warm. Just I may be adding, some kimchi or some leafy greens, but there's always a warm element to my breakfast to help warm me up in the morning. And then in the evenings, I'm really leaning towards warm dinners, soups, stews, anything I can make a big batch in advance and heat up a few days in a row. So I still am able to support the fact that time can be limited in the evening, but I'm getting a hot, nourishing meal that's also very hydrating. I've been really trying to just have meals where there's a lot of extra liquid, broth, water, I've reincorporated always having an herbal cup of tea about an hour after dinner to help calm me down at the end of the day, kind of ground my nervous system. But it's also makes me feel special. It's like really nourishing to my heart to take the time to make myself the herbal tea. And then I'm doing the castor oil packs 2 to 3 times a week, but always putting a nice warm compress on it. So again, just the added heat in my body. And, you know, that's really what I've been doing.
And it works.
Lastly, every time I try to reach for a cold beverage, I think of you and I resist because I know my face will look better if I just say no. And so even when I'm overheated in the kitchen, you know, I'll just step out of the kitchen, drink some water, add some lemon or lime or sea salt to it. But I refrain from adding the ice. I try to find other ways to cool down for a minute because I know my skin and my face will benefit long term if I can avoid constantly doing that.
Oh, good work. And it shows in your face. The color around your eyes and the energy from your eyes is so much better. We rejoice for you, Whitney. Now, a couple things I want to say. Yeah. One, first of all, anybody listening to this, don't be freaked out about the meals got to be hot. You know, freshly cooked is really the key. So if I heard you correctly, Whitney, rather than just taking a salad out of the fridge and having that be a meal, you'd cook it. And then if it's a hot day, you could let it be room temperature before you eat it. But you're not eating cold things directly from the fridge. You're not adding ice cubes. And even working with yourself when you're hot and wanting an ice cube and just applying some restraint. And let's face it, you know, it's going to take a little bit of discipline to get your face back like you want it to be, right? So good for you for doing that. Now, also, if there is a situation when you really, really need a drink of cold something, a swallow of cold something, what you can do is take that swallow and just warm it in your mouth.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, swish it around in your mouth and then swallow it. And just very briefly, why this is so important is our stomach is happy when things are room temperature. Mm-hmm. And if I put something ice cream, icy cold in my stomach, then the stomach, the thermostat, I mentioned that the kidneys act as a thermostat. That thermostat says, uh-oh, you know, things are out of whack here. Everything's got to be body temperature. And so the kidneys have to work really hard to bring that cold beverage up to room temperature before digestion can even start to work. And so when you're eating a cold meal, the digestive system has to work twice as hard because it has to bring the temperature of that food up. And only then can it start assimilating breaking it down to assimilate the nutrients. So that's making your digestive system work twice as hard. And it's making your kidney system work unnecessarily. So it all adds up and it's doable.
It's very doable.
Hi, I'm Chef Whitney Aronoff. As a personal chef, I created custom organic spices for my clients. These blends are of the highest quality with no added sugar, MSG, caking agents, or any junk. I want you to have the same access to good quality seasonings, which is why I've launched my line of organic spice blends. High Vibration Foods by Starseed Kitchen is my collection of chef-crafted organic spice blends made with only good-for-you ingredients. I use organic source spices, ancient mineral-rich Redmond real salt, prepare the blends listening to Kundalini mantra music, then charge the jars with the quartz Giza crystals for a true high vibration experience. You can now purchase my most requested blend, 11 Magic Herbs and Spices, on starseedkitchen.com. Use code STARSEED for 10% off your purchase. Can't wait for you to enjoy. I would love to know from your perspective what you think are good snacks. You know, in the afternoon, sometimes people need a little bite or kids need something to eat after school, but before dinner's ready. What are good things to prepare that still support our digestive system or that you can pack in a bag and take with you?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to preface that by saying for adults, as possible, eat three, or if you're convalescing, four meals a day. If you're a youngster, you know, the younger you are, the more you're going to need more than three meals a day. But what's really important is to give the digestive system a good break between meals, so the food can be fully combusted, and that's important. And, you know, there's so much good information today on intermittent fasting. And if you look at any of that, it will explain the importance of not eating, not snacking throughout the day. So that's the first comment. And the second is when you do need a snack, and hey, we all need a snack, there are those times. And I know for myself, around full moon time when the energy's up, you know, sometimes it's just then a little nibble, you know, sometimes it's what we all do, you know, so make sure there's a good one. And for me, a good one is to make sure that, well, it's going to be sweet, probably an apple or, you know, a whole fruit would be ideal. Versus something refined, processed. But then to make sure there's some protein or fat in there so it's just not all carbohydrate. So if it's an apple in your kid's lunch, you know, then there's also, or the kid's snack, then there's also the peanut butter or the almond butter that goes with it. You know, some sunflower seeds or something like that. Was that a help?
Yeah, that's helpful. I think people just get, you know, overwhelmed sometimes with what to snack on. But if you just look at it and make sure it's a whole food, you know, and you're just looking for something to tie you over till dinner time. So it doesn't have to be too big, just a little bite.
Yeah.
Now, if someone's just becoming aware of face reading and they want to look at a picture of themselves or look in the mirror right now to see if there's anything else that's off to find out if they should dive more into this. What's another place that they can look along the face? So we've gone from the hair to the eyes. What's another section that they could look at?
All righty. Let's come back to the eyebrow region first. And then how you take a picture. So you just take a picture with your, you know, a selfie with your camera and then enlarge it. And that's the secret, is enlarging it. And then you can really see the details. So in the eyebrow region, that reflects the liver. So if you've got redness, for example, or lines between the eyebrows, that indicates that the liver wants some TLC, that not eating late at night, not eating too fatty foods, good quality fats, not overeating. Those are some basic liver guidelines. Leafy greens are wonderful medicine for the liver. Wonderful medicine. So the eyelids show the condition of the stomach spleen. And Whitney, in your photo 6 months ago showed that your eyelids were a little hooded. And by hooded, you know, that just means that they were puffy and sort of swollen down and coming down almost to the eyelashes themselves. And in today's pictures, it's remarkable that they're much less hooded. So So your stomach is, your stomach, spleen, digestive system is much happier today. And your face is brighter because those eyelids aren't swollen and puffed up. Yeah.
And this is such a great teaching. You know, I thought with those eyelids, it was simply age, and that the only resolution was going to be surgery. And that I was going to have to go in for, you know, an eyelid lift, something that my mother had, you know, at 70. I thought I was going to need, you know, at this age. And who would have thought that simply what I needed was the right diagnosis, that it was simply an imbalance with my diet and lifestyle, and that it can, it could be resolved. It can improve.
It's just so beautiful how this works, isn't it?
Yeah. And yeah. I'm taking notes as we're going so I can revisit and make sure that I'm really supporting these parts of my body. So how can people learn to do this themselves? Because that's really what it's going to come down to. Like, you're going to keep evolving. You have to pick up these skills so you can support yourself.
Right. Thanks for bringing me back to that, because we want you, whoever's listening in, to feel your best. And so you take your picture, and then you, I have information on my blog. I have lots of blogs about the mouth region, the eye region, you know, kidneys, what have you. And you learn that way. I have some do-it-yourself books that have the information. You can also get a face reading from me. But then you just track. And also you notice your symptoms. And I have all that information online, Whitney. But I think the most important thing is to become a sleuth. You know, to know that Google doesn't have your answer, and your doctor could only offer you a surgery.
Yes. For your eyelids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's up to you to do a little homework, to take some time, and to love yourself enough that you're going to implement some changes.
Thank you. That's good to know. So I have bought your ebooks before, and they're really helpful for anyone that wants to learn how to do it themselves. It really is a step-by-step guide. You have good quizzes in there that you can retake at any time. The great thing is, what you can find on Google is recipes to support you. So if you know you need to eat more warm foods, you can find recipes for soups. You know, you can find recipes that you can make for dinner quickly with whole food ingredients. That's what you can use Google for. But, you know, these tips are really great just to learn for everybody, because everyone's going to be looking at somebody's face in their family. Yeah. Now, you mentioned collarbones. You go all the way down to the collarbones with some of your clients. Tell me about what you're reading at the neck and then the collarbones.
Well, should we touch on the mouth region first and then move down? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is really common sense when we think about it. The mouth is the beginning of the digestive tract, and the esophagus down to the stomach, the colon, the small intestine, the large intestine, and then out through the anus is the path of the food, right? So at birth, it's this hollow tube. Mm-hmm. And so because our faces, they're like a flower, they reflect the whole interior of our being. And so the upper lip and the region above the mouth reflects the condition of the upper GI tract, whereas the lower lip reflects the condition of the lower GI tract. So if you have, I'll say what's ideal first. Ideally, your lips are uniform size, uniform color, and the skin above them, this at the border is clear and precise. I'm going to repeat those. Same color, same size, and a clear, crisp border between the lip and the skin. Now, if you look around you today, sadly, you'll find almost no, well, so few people who have a clear, precise lower lip border. And often the top lip border is fuzzy or irritated, and people are chapped and they think, oh, I need a better chapstick. Wrong. You know, it's that your tummy needs some attention. The color above the lip, the skin itself, is often whitish or yellow, or can even be a little green or bluish, you know, with just showing that the upper GI tract is unhappy. And so you make adjustments accordingly. Oh, here's one that's perhaps easy. Look in the store. If you go shopping today, or look in your office, or on the subway, and look at people around you, and you'll see very often that it's pink right above the top lip. And acid indigestion, GERD, acid reflux. Someone's stomach isn't, whatever you were eating the last few meals probably is not settling. I mean, it takes a while to build up. One meal won't show it, but if it's consistent. And so how many people are taking medications unnecessarily for acid reflux? How many people? And what's invited is to remove what the problem is, rather than to try to cover it over with a medication or with lip balm. You know, it's not going to do it.
Often are the lips chapped because the stomach is almost dehydrated, that it's not getting enough liquid or soft foods or warm foods? Or is it simply because it's getting irritated with maybe processed foods or just foods that don't agree with the system?
For, you know, it's a good question, and I can't answer that precisely. But what it is telling you is the stomach isn't happy. Likewise, if there's lots of wrinkles, some people have a deeply wrinkled top lip. Some people have a deeply wrinkled bottom lip. Different people can have the same symptoms, but it could be a little different cause. Are you getting the right enzymes? Do you need hydrochloric acid? We're all different, and the discoloration, for one person, it could be, just too much refined foods or too much sugars or not having the right supplements to, some people do need supplements to support digestion, or some people are not able to tolerate grains right now, or dairy. Dairy's a real big one too. Some people cannot do dairy. I know everybody loves it, you know, but some people don't tolerate it, or eggs. So you find out what your triggers are, and it's real easy. You've got your photograph, and then you notice it's pink there above the lip. And so you think, what did I eat that didn't quite work for me? And you start eliminating. You try by giving up the most common food culprits, which are eggs, dairy, grains. And you find what it is. And if you don't easily find it, then you experiment with basic digestive supplements. So that's where to start.
Now, one thing that you showed me about my lips that I would have never noticed is that I have three lines on my lower lip. And I believe you told me that that is candida or SIBO. Is that correct?
Yes. Whitney, not the lines so much. What I noticed it with your lower lip, and many people have this, is that, at birth, your lips, your top and bottom lip, were uniform size. People with SIBO it's as if they're doing an exaggerated pout with P-O-U-T with their bottom lip. So the inner part of the bottom lip sticks out. And in your case, in both pictures, I see that your bottom lip has a larger volume by mass than your top lip. And it's as if the inner part is pooching out. And that suggests to me that there's some SIBO.
Which is so interesting to hear. You know, a lot of people pay extra money for this pout. The time that we're living in, a lot of people get that injection. So that's a great reminder that things are supposed to be uniform and balanced. But, you know, these are things, again, I would have never noticed myself without somebody pointing out and really zooming in. So you can take these tips that you're hearing today and look yourself. But then that's why getting a face reading guide or ebook like what you have can really help you dive deeper and pick up on things that you've never thought of before. You know, I always thought just getting those lines in between your eyebrows, those 11s, you know, was just, you know, life. I didn't know it's also letting you know that something's going on inside.
Yep. It's truly, truly fascinating and functional. And hey, let's empower ourselves and do what works for us. Right. And, I just wanted to mention that if you look at historical art mm-hmm. and statues, you'll see that lips were, for the most part, there's always going to be exceptions, uniform in size. And it's just since the introduction of refined foods, the 50s, that you'll see progressively, if you look at photographs, that you'll progressively see people with this larger lower lip, and it has become a sign of beauty today. First time, no historical precedence for that. And so people get injections. Oh, and then the people who do get injections, who have complications from their injections, who come to me for help after the fact, you know, we wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Have you had people come to you after injections? Well, trying to find balance?
There's reaction, there's just complication, and they, you know, they're trying to become more attractive and it backfires. And when you're Googling for help, you know, for a quick fix, it doesn't tell you the other side of it, the people it didn't work for. Yeah.
Wow. Well, what are the big takeaways you've had doing this work for so many years?
Oh, now that's a good question. And I'm quick going to answer first, though. Notice your neck. If most people at birth, our skin was the same color top to bottom, mm-hmm. except for our palms and the soles of our feet. But so many people today, their neck color differs from their face color. And this is just a sign that your diet needs attention and or you need some good digestive supplements. I don't know. I'd have to look at your intake and photos to tell you. Mm-hmm. So takeaway. Oh, we're all so busy. And there's nothing in our culture that supports us really taking good care of ourselves. Well, like Whitney, like you do in all your podcasts and your education and your information, we're counterculture. You know, what's popular is, you know, doing what's fast and doing what's efficient. And so the takeaway is, I invite you to the best of your ability to take good care of yourself. And this requires prioritizing, I don't know, but probably maybe it means starting with cleaning up your kitchen.
Ah.
You know, cleaning out the fridge of stuff that just clutters it. If you've got a clear space in your kitchen, it's going to be more pleasurable to cook good food. Mm-hmm. But if it's cluttered, it's easier to order to go, right? So examine your life in all detail. Perhaps you need to spend less time on social media. You know, again, I'm saying things that aren't popular, but what is it that you do need to do? What is it you can do to take care of your precious health so that you can fully enjoy your life and so you can support your health and have a good life and a long life and a healthy life. So that would be the takeaway I would offer.
In this season of winter, you know, you are a great cook. You have so many great recipes in the new Whole Foods Encyclopedia. Is there a recipe that you always lean into making in the winter season that you find nourishes all the layers of you?
Well, like you, I always enjoy a good soup and stew. I enjoy all foods. I eat a little more meat, a little more salt in the wintertime. Mm. Sorry, I'm just not coming up with a one recipe, but I'm sure I could look on your webpage and find some great ideas.
Thank you. Well, where can people learn from you, get a face reading? Where should they turn to get more information about this topic and to learn how to do it themselves?
My webpage it's my name, RebeccaWood.com. And the information is there, and may it serve you. May it serve everyone. That's my deepest aspiration.
And I'll have the link to your website in the show notes, and I'll also have a link to where they can purchase your books as well, so that can support them. Can you leave our listeners with maybe just one last tip that they can consider adding into their life to improve their overall health and well-being?
Oh, sure. Look for greater relaxation and to laugh more and to enjoy life more. And if you do so, you can grow these, you know, the little crow's feet at the corner of your eyes. The more crow's feet you have, that shows the more smiles you've smiled in your life. And we all enjoy being with a happy person. We all like feeling good. And so, grow your smile lines would be my last invitation.
That is beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. I so appreciate you. I'm so impressed by all that you've put out in the world. And it's such a treat to chat with you today. Thank you.
And Whitney, thank you for your generosity in sharing your very personal information about your process. And what a generous spirit. We all thank you for that, Whitney. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the High Vibration Living Podcast. Please leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you are tuning in from to help more listeners like and find this podcast. And if you really loved what you heard today, pay it forward and send this episode to a friend or loved one. For more Starseed Kitchen, visit starseedkitchen.com and follow us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Be sure to pick up a jar of my High Vibration Foods organic spices, which you can purchase on starseedkitchen.com. You can find me and follow along on my chef adventures on all your favorite social media channels @Whitney Aronoff. Thanks again for tuning in. Cheers to you and your health.